Isaiah 41:10, the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again, Lord, for our time here at Cross County Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for these precious people, Lord. They've been so kind to us, Lord. And God, I thank you for the time that we've had. Lord, I hope the messages so far have been a blessing to them and strengthen them. Lord, I pray you please bless this time, this message, Lord. God, please, I know it'll be quick and to the point, but God, I do hope that you'll encourage somebody here, that you'll help them, Lord. It's challenging what we have to face out in this world, Lord. And God, it's not, the world is not for us. It's certainly against what we stand for, what we love. God, it's against. And I just pray you would please help us and encourage us through this message. Lord, help us to hear your voice through the preaching. God, please give me what I need, the right words and thoughts and spirit to get this across. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified and lifted up, Lord. And God, that your people would be helped by it, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and bless this time that we have. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you again for standing with me. Just very quickly, the background of the book of Isaiah. This is 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And at this time in the nation of Israel, it was not trending in a good direction. It was not going in a positive way. They were getting farther and farther away from God. In fact, about 150 years from the time that Isaiah preached and prophesied was when they would go into the captivity in Babylon. And that was a judgment for their sin. So Isaiah's trying to warn them. He's trying to get their attention. The first half of the book, he's calling out their sin. The second half, he's kind of looking past some of the difficulties that would come and some of the punishment that would come and say, hey, there is a brighter day on the horizon. And he talks about how they'll be delivered out of that captivity. He talks about how Jesus would come one day. Isaiah 53 is a famous chapter, how it talks about he would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace would be upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isn't that amazing? 700 years before Jesus was even born in Bethlehem, that God has given this message to Isaiah, predicting minute details of what would happen with Jesus. Not only that he would be here, but that he would die on the cross in our place, and that he would sacrifice himself for our sins. And then he talks about this great millennial kingdom. But at this point in chapter 41, he gives some things that would happen in the future. And there were some other nations that would, I guess, try to trust in their idols, verses 5 through 7. We won't really get into that. But verses 8 and 9, just real quick, it says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." Israel foresaw some of these judgments, and he foresaw some of the things that would happen with other nations. And Israel was starting to get to the point where they were becoming fearful, where they were becoming scared. And they thought that God's judgment would fall on them as well and wipe them out. And God is trying to remind them, no, no, no. These other nations will be punished. And yes, you will be punished for your sin, but you will not be wiped out. He's saying, you are my servant, my chosen people. And he refers back to Abraham, and he's saying, that's my friend. Back in Genesis chapter 12, when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, he's saying that I have chosen you, Israel, and I will take care of you, and I will keep you over the long haul. Yes, there will be some punishments. Yes, there'll be some judgments. Yes, there'll be some hard times because it's punishment for your sins. But don't get the idea that I'm done with you. Hey, God is not done with his nation, the nation of Israel. But I love verse number 10. He's talking to his people here in Israel, and he says, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I'll strengthen thee, and I'll help thee, and I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And folks, I can't help but think that when you look at our nation, when you look at the direction of things, when you look how things are trending, it seems that evil is growing by the day. Things are getting more and more out of hand. It's everywhere you look. And it's almost like you don't want to look at it anymore, but it keeps popping up. And you know what happens? You know what happens in 2023 if we don't watch it? Many Christians, you're feeling scared. You're feeling unsettled. You're feeling uneasy. You're thinking, what in the world is going on with our country? Seems like sometimes people don't want to come to church like they should. They don't want to put God first. They want to do their own thing, and it gets hard. It gets discouraging. And listen, we look at our own selves and we think, Lord, I'm weak, I'm inadequate, I'm insufficient, I can't do what I should do all the time, I'm unable. And we look around and it looks like everything's about to crumble around us. And we think, man, am I going to cave in? Many Christians are troubled, they're filled with heartache, and they're filled with anxiety. You know, this verse right here should be a blessing to each one of us. Listen, we all feel these things. We all feel weak at times. We all feel like we can't do what we're supposed to do. We're not adequate. We're not sufficient for what we're supposed to do. Lord, I'm trying, but this is hard. This is difficult. I don't know if I can cover everything that I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm glad that God's with us. He hasn't forgotten about us. He's helping us. And my message very simply today is this. Don't forget who's helping you. Don't forget who's helping you. I believe that's what he's telling the nation of Israel here in Isaiah 41. And I believe that's what we need today. Listen, our nation, we get it. It's not going in the right direction. Listen, when they pass these crazy laws, I'm not encouraged by that. When we see our nation getting farther and farther and farther away from God, we don't rejoice over that. That grieves us. That bothers us. And many times in the church, we see those that are going the wrong direction. And even in our own lives, we get disappointed. Some things happen in our families and difficulties come and we think, man, this is discouraging. Don't forget who's helping you. Don't forget that he's there with you. Don't forget who he is, that he has all power, that he always has been and he always will be. He doesn't change. And listen, that's the one that's helping you. Folks, young person, you're trying to live for God. Don't forget who's helping you. Listen, adult, you're trying to lead your family right. You're trying to stay faithful to the Lord. You're trying to work your job and stay faithful to God and love him. Don't forget who's helping you. Listen, he's just as powerful now as he was in Isaiah 41. Listen, he hasn't changed one bit. Bible says his hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Listen, you know the problem? We need to make sure the sin is out of our lives so that God will hear our prayers and so that God will help us. But listen, God has not lost a step. God has not gotten weak. God has not gotten forgotten what he used to do or not had the same ability that he used to. Listen, God is just as powerful, just as able, just as strong, just as mighty, just as wise. And listen, he can do what he always has done. And he can do it for you, and he can do it for me. Don't forget who's helping you. A couple ideas from this verse that I want to give to you. First of all, the first line of it, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." I want to remind you of these things today. First of all, his remaining presence. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You facing trouble today? You say, Brother Tom, well, you don't know my financial situation. No, but God does. And it says he's a very present help in trouble. I like that. Listen, that's almost redundant. He's going and saying, not only am I present, he said, I'm very present. I'm all up in the middle of that there to help you. Listen, you struggling with your family. Maybe someone's getting off track. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Listen, God is there to help you. He says his remaining presence. I'm glad that when God is with you, God's not leaving you. We don't have to worry about him abandoning us or forsaking us. His remaining presence. He says, fear thou not. You know why they would fear? Because there's intimidating pressure. Listen, they saw their nation crumbling. They saw their nation going farther from God. They saw many people didn't care about what God wanted in that day and age. And it bothered Isaiah. It bothered those that are godly. But you know what? We see that all around us. We see the wickedness. We see the struggles. We see the difficulties. And it's everywhere. But folks, I didn't come to you today to just say, hey, don't worry about it. Hey, everything will be fine. Hey, just put a happy face on it. Hey, everything will brighten up and not give any reasons behind that. I'm glad God doesn't do that. The verse does not stop when he says, fear thou not. He says, for, this is the reason why, for I am with thee. Listen, that's the reason you don't have to fear. That's the reason you don't have to cave in. That's the great reason you don't have to crumble. And that's the reason you don't have to be filled with anxiety nowadays. Why? Because he's with us, folks. He's with us. Listen, when you pray to him, he answers. He hears what's going on. He tunes in when you call to him. The intimidating pressure, but we have an incomparable presence. Listen, who else do you want on your side but God, right? If we have God on our side, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. Listen, like that song that we sing says, listen, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Whatever may come our way, we can deal with it. We can face it. Why? Because I'm smart, because I'm strong, because I can handle it. No, because he's with me. Amen. And isn't that one of his names, Emmanuel, God with us? Listen, he's with you. The intimidating pressure and the incomparable presence. God is with you. That's the solid reason. And folks, all throughout Scripture, this is the testimony of the Bible all throughout, that God tells us not to fear, and then he says, you know why you don't have to fear? Because I'm with you. In Deuteronomy 31:6, he says, be strong, of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You know what he's saying? You don't have to fear. You can be strong. You can be courageous. Why? Because I'm with you. Because I'm with you. Young person, you're trying to live for God, God's with you. Adult, you're trying to stay faithful to God, God's with you. God's helping you. You're trying to raise your family right, God's helping you. You're trying to shield your children from the wickedness of this world, God's with you. Don't forget that. Listen, if you factor Jesus into your problems and realize that he's with you and he'll help you through it, you know what? That'll help you so much more than anything else in this world. When we start staring at our problems and worrying about these things so much, they seem so big. But you know what? The Lord has everything under control if we'll keep him first and if we'll stay focused on him. The intimidating pressure, it's all around. But you know, he is with us and he's the best one to have with us. Joshua 1:9, God tells Joshua, he says, haven't I commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Folks, you can think, put yourself in Joshua's spot. He's taking on this new responsibility. He's the new leader for the whole nation of Israel. They're going into the promised land. That's a scary time. That's a transitional time. But you know what God's reminding him? Just like I was with Moses, just how I helped your hero, I'll help you too. I'll be there for you too. Folks, that's the same God that we serve nowadays. You say, but I'm going through it. I'm struggling. It's hard on me right now. Yeah, David could attest to the same thing. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? For thou art with me. That's why we can stay strong. That's why we don't have to panic. That's why we don't have to fear and throw in the towel or let our head hang down. Why? Because God's with us. God's with you, folks. God's with you. He's on our side. He's the one in our battles. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know what the answer to that is? A whole lot of people can be against us, but they can't win if God's on our side. And, you know, I think it's illustrated perfectly in the New Testament. Matthew 14, the story of Jesus walking on the water is there. You know, I think that is the perfect illustration for our lives. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. He said, come on. And you know the story. Peter was walking on the water, as he was looking at Jesus, as he was focused at Jesus, he was on top. He kept getting closer and closer to the Lord. You know, I don't think the storm got worse. I think that's how we kind of read into the story. Sometimes the storm didn't get worse. It didn't pick up. It was always bad. Listen, it was terrible when he jumped out of the boat in the first place. But you know what happened? He took his focus off of Jesus and onto the storm, onto the waves, onto the wind, onto the turbulence. And that's when he started to sink. Can I tell you? All of us have turbulence, storms, wind, and waves in our lives. We all do. But you know what we need to do? Keep our focus on Jesus. Listen, if you keep your focus on Jesus today, you'll keep succeeding, you'll keep advancing, you'll keep progressing, and you'll keep getting closer to the Lord. But if you take your focus off of him and look at the problems, you're going to sink. It'll happen to me. It'll happen to you. We've got to keep our focus on the Lord. I think that is just a microcosm of the Christian life. Keep your focus on Christ no matter what comes. What does Hebrews tell us? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, if you look up that word looking, you know what it means? To look away from other things and to focus on him. Hey, folks, maybe today you need to look away from some other things in your life. You say, but they're problems. They're calling my attention. They're just screaming at me for my attention and getting my alert. You know what? Maybe we need to look away from some of those things and say, Lord, you know about this problem. God, you know what's going on in my family. You know what's going on in my finances. You know what's going on in my job. You know my car's broken down. You know I'm struggling. God, you know I've been discouraged recently. Lord, you know I've been thinking of quitting and giving up recently. Listen, the Lord already knows about it. But you know what? Keep your focus on him. He will get you through, folks. He'll get you through. But we've got to keep our focus on him. We can't let it get distracted. But you know, this is an individual decision. Listen, I've got to keep my focus on Jesus for myself. I can't do it for anybody else. And you must do the same in your own life. You can't do it for anybody else. You know what God says? This is such a relevant verse for what we've been going through. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Folks, listen. God will give you peace if you keep your focus on him. And I love that word stayed. It doesn't just mean that you glance. It means you stay focused. You stay there. You remain. You abide in it. Listen, I don't know what's going on in your life, but if there's things that are deterring you and distracting your attention away from the Lord, say, no, no, no. I know this is a problem in my life. I'm aware that it's a struggle, but I'm going to look away from that and keep my focus on the Lord. The Lord knows about your problems, and he knows about mine, and he can handle them if we'll bring them to him. What did he say? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's saying, bring the problem to me. Philippians tells us to be careful for nothing. You know what that's saying? That's saying be anxious for nothing. Like you read that and you're like, Lord, have you seen my life lately? You know, like, how can I be anxious for nothing? Here's how. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, you don't have to be stressed out about all these things. Take it to the Lord, and he can give you peace that passes all understanding. You know what that's talking about? That's saying the problems that I'm facing, even though I might be filled up with all these problems, I can still have a smile on my face. I can still have peace in my heart. And it doesn't even make sense with the circumstances of my life. You ever see somebody that's going through it and they have a smile on their face? And you're thinking to yourself, how in the world does that person have a smile on their face? Do they not know the problems that they have? You know, should I write them out on a list and say, do you realize you have all these problems? They realize they have those problems, but you know what? They also realize that they have a God that's greater than those problems. Yes. And they're keeping their focus on that God, not the problem. Hey, folks, where's your focus today? Where is it? I hope it's on the Lord, the remaining presence. Don't forget who's helping you. He's saying, fear thou not, for I am with thee. He's with you. He's with you. Factor Jesus in to your problems. Secondly, I want you to see that there's a relationship that's personal. I like this. He's saying, fear thou not, for I am with thee, the remaining presence. Point number two, the relationship is personal. He says, be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. I like that. He takes responsibility for it. He identifies with his people here saying, listen, you're mine. You belong to me, and I'm going to take care of you because of that. The relationship is personal. When the Bible says, don't be dismayed, that's not, you know, a word that we use too often nowadays. But you know what it's talking about? It's a loss of resolve in time of difficulty. What that basically means is this. You don't have to crumble under pressure. You don't have to fall apart. When things get turned up and the intensity gets turned up, you don't have to crumble when that happens. Why? 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 Because he's our God. Because he's our God. Listen, he is on our side. We don't have to crumble. Why? Because he's our companion. He's our God. Listen, folks, when you prayed and asked Jesus to save you, you made the right choice. You didn't get caught up in some scheme and some scam and some pyramid scheme. Listen, you trusted the creator of the universe, the one that died for you, that shed his own blood to save you, that'll come back one day and take you home to heaven with him. That's who you're trusting. You can trust in him. He is your God. In Psalm 124, it talks about if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, you know what Israel's saying? If it wasn't God who was on our side, there we wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have had a chance in this whole thing. Hey, folks, if we were trusting some false God, if we were trusting some fake spiritual teachings and some fake religious cult and all these kind of things, then we should be worried and stressed out. But you know what? We're trusting God, and he's given us his perfect, inspired, inerrant, infallible word to live our lives by. You don't have to worry. God, listen, God is going to do his part. Let's make sure we do our part. That's what I'm trying to say. This relationship is personal. You don't have to crumble under pressure. Why? Because you have a divine companion. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And listen, I don't like the direction our country is going in, but you know what? That doesn't have to slow me down from living for God. And it doesn't have to slow you down either. We can continue on. We can put God first and honor him. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of his children. And you know what? He still does nowadays. He still does nowadays. I just want to remind you today, don't forget who's helping you. Listen, we can get so inundated with the problems of this world,
We can get so filled up. We can be just barely keeping our head above the water of the cesspool of this world and thinking, what am I going to do? Lord, this doesn't make any sense anymore. How am I going to live for you anymore? You know what? You know how you're going to keep living for him? By keeping your focus on him and putting him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, he can take care of you, folks. He can take care of you. He can take care of me as well. Don't forget who's helping you, the remaining presence. The relationship is personal. And I want you to see point number three. I want you to realize the progression here. I like this. The rest of the verse, he says, I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will help thee. Yeah, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I like this. I see a progression here. Hope you do too, all right? Realize the progression. Now, he gives three words. He's saying, I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to uphold you. I think this is really cool when you break down these words. Okay, when he's saying, I'm going to strengthen you, to me, that means he's going to impart unto us energy and the ability to do it. This is, Lord, I'm working here. I'm working. I'm trying to serve you. And Lord, I'm worn out and I'm tired. And God, I need your help. And you know what God does? God can give you the energy and the ability to continue on, to sustain you. I'm glad for that. Listen, there's plenty of times you're trying to serve the Lord. You're trying to reach your family, your friends, and it's hard and you're beat down by it. And you're thinking, Lord, I don't know how much longer I can do this. You know what you need to do? Talk to him about it. He already knows how you feel. Say, Lord, I'm struggling here. I don't know if I can continue this. He will give you the strength to keep on going. He will strengthen you. He'll put that strength and that vitality into you to continue on. Don't get discouraged and don't give up. But first he says, I'll strengthen you. So I will give you strength for your labor. Number two, though, he says, I will help you. Now, Brother Tony, I like this part because strengthen. If you're following me here, if I'm working with something and I say, Lord, I need you to strengthen me. He sends that strength and that energy for me to continue on. But if I'm trying to carry something and I keep dropping it, I say, Brother Tony, could you help me? You know what that's saying? I need you to get up from where you are, come over here, and you share the load with me. Aren't you glad that God will share the load with you? Listen, he's not just delving out some strength and some energy saying, okay, you're feeling weak. You know, here's a Red Bull. No, that's not what he's doing. He's not giving you a bottle of water to keep you going. He sends his strength and he gives you more power to continue on. But I'm also glad that sometimes he will share the load with us. He will partner up with us. Isn't that what he says in Matthew 11? He says, take my yoke upon you. You know what that's talking about? They would have basically a harness, a wooden frame and a harness that they would hook up two animals so that they could plow together. They could do some kind of agricultural work together. And you know what they would do? Often they would put a more experienced animal with a younger one so that they could team up. And that younger one, he didn't know what to do, but he could just follow the lead of that more experienced animal. I'm so glad that God will team up with this. Are you struggling today? Maybe you need to say, God, I need your strength in me. Give me that power to keep on going. But maybe you need to say, Lord, I need you to help me share the load. Hey, can you help me? Can you come over here and you carry one side and I carry the other side and we get through this together? God will help you with that. He'll partner up with you and help you. Not only does he give you strength for your labor, he'll strengthen you, but it says that he will help you. He will share the load. And then it gets better, folks. The end of the verse. And I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, first one, I'm doing the work. In our analogy, the Lord gives me more strength, more energy, more vitality to continue on. Number two, I'm going to help you. Man, I'm struggling. I can't make this alone. I need you to help me. You carry your end and I'll carry my end. But this third one, my end, I can't even hold up my end anymore. He's saying, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Folks, you know what kind of person needs to be held up? A person that's falling. A person that can't do it anymore. A person that's giving up. A person that says, I just can't hold up my end of the bargain anymore. The Lord says, yeah, you know what? If you just keep trying, even though you're weak, and even though you're falling under that weight and under that pressure, I can hold you up. Folks, have you ever had times in your life where you look back and you say, I don't even know how I got through that low point in my life. How in the world did that happen? Can I tell you? He was holding you up. He was holding you up. You didn't have the strength to stand yourself, but he stood you up and he propped you up and he kept you going through that tough time of your life. I'm thankful for that. Yeah. There's plenty of those times you say, Lord, I can't do it anymore. He says, yeah, I can. I can help you. Listen, when he said Moses, he gave his name Jehovah to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3, it means I am. He said, I am that I am. Listen, Moses said, God, I can't talk good. I can't speak right. Yeah, God says, yeah, I can. I am. I can do it. Listen, whatever we're not good at, God can take care of it just fine. Listen, he has the ability. The things that we cannot do, he can do easily. And he says, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. By the way, he's saying with the right hand of my righteousness. That's the strong hand of God. Don't worry, the left hand ain't bad either. But he upholds you with the right hand of his righteousness, his strong hand. Listen, he can help you through whatever you're going through. I'm glad that he can give me strength for my labor. I'm glad that he can share the load with me. And I'm glad that he can support me when I'm leaning, when I'm falling, when I can't do it anymore. He can do it through me. You know what Paul said? When I'm weak, he's strong. And folks, you may be weak in here today, but God's strong and he can help you through whatever you're dealing with right now. And the last thing I want to share with you, point number four, the responsible person. You know, five times in this verse, the word I is used. You know what God's saying? I'll take care of this. You're my people. I love you. I've chosen you. You belong to me, and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. This is personal. The person that's responsible. You know what, folks? If we will stay faithful to the Lord, if we will stay doing what we need to do for him, we have an assured destination. And I'm not just talking about heaven, but if you are faithful, you know, the victorious Christian life, that's your assured destination. You will triumph. You will come out on top if you stay close to God, if you keep doing what's right. That will pay off. He promised that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, the assured destination. But you know what? No time in this verse do I see him saying, you know, Israel, you don't have to worry. You don't have to fall apart. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out well in the end. You know why? Because Israel, you are so smart. Israel, you are so powerful. Israel, you are so mighty. Israel, you are so wise. I don't see that anywhere in the verse. You know why? Because it's not there. And folks, nowhere in our lives do I see God telling us, you'll be fine. Everything will work out great. You know why? Because you're so strong and you're so wise and you're so skilled and you're so talented. I don't see that. Folks, we do not base the Christian life and our success on what we can do. Because if that were the case, we all would have failed a long time ago. But you know, he's saying, you may not be strong. You may not be wise. You may not have the skills to make it. But you can depend on me. That's why he says, for I am with thee, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee and I will uphold thee. You know what he's saying? I will take care of it. You just got to keep trusting in him. In your family, keep trusting in him. In your walk with God, just keep trusting in him. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says we are not sufficient in and of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. If we're trying to make it because we're so skilled in the Christian life, it's never going to work. You know where our sufficiency comes from? Him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. But I'm glad Paul said in Philippians, he's saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. Listen, anything God wants you to do, he'll give you the help to be able to accomplish it. And he'll be there with you the whole time. And I want to leave one last verse with you. This is a godly king by the name of Jehoshaphat back in the Old Testament. And he was facing a very difficult time, a challenge of an army against him. This was a huge army. He was vastly outnumbered. He had no chance, humanly speaking, to win this battle. But you know what he did? He prayed to God. And I love this verse. This is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. He's praying to God. He's saying, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? Get this. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But the last part of that verse, but our eyes are upon thee. Folks, you know what he's saying? He's saying, we have no might against this great army that comes against us. He's saying, I have no physical resources that I can go to, no weaponry, no military, no soldiers. I don't have the physical strength in my body to beat that army. And he says, I don't have the mental capability either. He says, neither know we what to do. I mean, that's a bad place to be in. You know, if you're in the army and you say, we're out of guns, we're out of bullets, we're out of bombs, we're out of rockets, we're out of everything. We got nothing. And one more tidbit of good news for you. I don't have any plans to overcome it. You'd be like, boy, I signed up for the wrong army, right? Let me get out of here quick. That's what he's saying. There's nothing I can do. I can't come up with anything in my mind, and I have no might to go against him. But you know what he's saying? Lord, I got one hope, and it's you, Lord. He's saying, my eyes are upon thee. And God gave him a great victory back there in the Old Testament and overcame that huge army that he had no business beating on his own. Why? Because he trusted in God. Because he trusted in God. Hey, folks, I just came to remind you of this thought. Don't forget who's helping you. It's very easy to. Man, we get so twisted up and bothered and annoyed. Can you believe this next law that they passed? And it annoys me too. Is their morality upside down? Is bad good to them and good bad? It sure seems like it. It really seems that way. But you know what, folks? I don't have to quit the Christian life just because our world is off the hook or just because our state makes all these bad laws. Listen, I don't have to quit because of that, because I'm not looking to that. Listen, I'm looking to the one that keeps helping me. That's always going to be with me. He said, I'm with you. I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you. And by the way, that's me doing it. He emphasizes that five times, saying, that's me that'll take care of that. You know what, folks? Don't forget who's helping you. I hope this is an encouragement to you today. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, don't forget who's helping you. You may be trying to live for God in a public school. You may be in a difficult job setting. You try to stand for the Lord and nobody appreciates it. You may be trying to reach other people and it seems like you're just busting your head in the wall, making no progress. Can I tell you, there's somebody helping you and he's never going to leave you and he's never going to forsake you. Listen, he is your God and he's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. And even when you can't carry your end of the bargain, he's going to uphold you by the right hand of his righteousness. That's the God that we serve. And that's the God that they serve in Isaiah 41. And I'm glad that he hasn't changed one bit. Here we are in 2023. He's the same God that has always been. That's the God that we can trust in, and that's the one who's helping us. Don't forget about him. Let's bow our head and